Turn with me to Ephesians, the third chapter. Tonight we'll finish chapter 10. We have one more to go in chapter 10. Then we'll ease. If we get past this last one, even though it's a short section in the book, but it's a lot of information I need to make sure we go over, because this last purpose of establishing covenant relationship is very important. If we don't take care of this last one, certain things will be lost. I'll never forget Brother Hagin told, before he passed, he said the Lord spoke to him and told him that if he don't take the time to teach those that are connected to him the move of God, it'll be lost to a whole generation. And so he spent his last 15 years teaching people about how the Holy Spirit move, how he functions, how you function with him as a person. And so the anointing that you see on Apostle Thompson's life is a result of Brother Hagin taking time to obey God and teach a generation about the move of the Spirit. So tonight, the last purpose of covenant, establishing covenant relationship, is for generational succession to take place. Now, this is important. Right now in the body of Christ, I'm going to try to walk lightly when I say this. We are in a period of time now where we have a bunch of people claiming to be fathers who've never been fathered. We have men and women who are trying to mentor younger people who themselves have never been mentored. And so it's hard to mentor or to develop another person if you yourself have not been developed. We see this happening in the physical, in the natural, in our world system. We find that it's hard for a man to be a father or a daddy to his kids if he has never been himself fathered. They have all those kind of have different issues, security issues, parenting issues, because they themselves have never been fathered. Well, that same thing is happening in the supernatural. And so, well, before we go to Ephesians, go with me to Malachi, the fourth chapter. Malachi, the fourth chapter. And I think that the last purpose for establishing a covenant relationship is the most important reason. Because Abraham said it best. In Genesis, the 15th chapter, he said it best. When God told him in that first verse, he said, I'm your, I said like this, your rapidly increasing money supply, but he actually said, I'm your exceeding great reward. In verse 1. When he said that, the very next thing that Abraham talked to God about is, who is going to inherit what I have? I can't leave it to Eliezer. And it was very important why he didn't want to leave it to Eliezer. And this is going to be the crux of what we discuss tonight. So here in Malachi, the fourth chapter, and we'll get to why he didn't want to leave it to Eliezer. Malachi, the fourth chapter. And the very last verse in the Old Testament. Now, from me studying and reading behind other men and women of God, you will learn that it was 400 years after this statement was made before God spoke again. It's 400 years. It's a reason for that. It was 400 years before God spoke again. Let's see what it says. Verse 6. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Do you see that? Verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, it was 400 years that God spoke again. And when God spoke again, he was speaking to an individual. He spoke to Zechariah. Now we see the New Testament. And he told Zechariah that he was going to have a son, John the Baptist. John the Baptist was that Elias or the Elijah that this scripture was talking about. And he said, I'm going to send Elijah and I'm going to return the heart of the fathers to the children, the children to the fathers, lest I smite the earth with a curse. So Elijah, now here's the funny thing about it. John the Baptist didn't perform any miracles. So how could it be that he was going to be like Elijah? Because Elijah's ministry was full of miracles. So it was not the miracles that God was concerned about. It was the transfer of generational apostolic authority that he was concerned about. Because Elijah was one of the clearest pictures of generational anointing being transferred from Elijah to Elisha. It was done the right way. Elisha, matter of fact, it was done so much the right way to when Elijah was caught up in that whirlwind, the Bible said Elisha cried out and tore his clothes saying, why, my master is gone. Now, wait a minute now. Think about the 21st century attitude, our attitude. Why would Elisha be upset that Elijah's gone? Because he got the double portion. So why should Elisha be upset that Elijah's gone? I got what I want from him. I got the double portion. But it was all about covenant relationship. So when John the Baptist hit the scene, John the Baptist's focus was getting us to pay attention to Jesus, because Jesus was showing us how we're supposed to treat our Father. You go through Jesus' life. You go through Jesus' life. Now, y'all remember now, Jesus was God made flesh. But the Bible also said in Philippians 2 and 5 that he made himself of no reputation, right? Took on the form of man. Are you seeing this? So when he took on the form of man, he was giving us an example of how we ought to treat apostolic authority. He said, I don't do anything unless the Father tells me to do it. He said, I don't say anything unless my Father tells me to say it. What that does, it creates accuracy. It creates a concentration of ability, a concentration of power, a concentration of grace. It's not all over the board. Right now in the body of Christ, we're all over the board. So that's why the world system tends to backwash into the church. That's why we have seeker-sensitive churches. It's not what God wants. It's what the people want. It's no longer God's agenda. It's about now, let's open the doors of the church so we can see how many people we can get in. We must understand, as children of God, there are some people that will choose not to yield. So we cannot lower our standards. We cannot lower God's standards of holiness. We cannot lower God's standards of righteousness to accommodate people who don't want to step up their game. This is making sense. So covenant, John the Baptist came to point us to, at the time, those he was ministering to, point their attention to Jesus, how Jesus functioned. See, most of us pay attention to the miracles that Jesus did. Rather than focus on the miracles that Jesus did, let's find out why Jesus was able to do those miracles. The reason why Jesus was able to do those miracles is because he knew that his life here on earth was only to represent the Father. He was here only to represent God's agenda. Which means when he began to duplicate himself in the 12 disciples, who eventually became apostles and established apostolic authority, he stressed to them that it's not about me and what I'm doing, it's about what I'm doing for the Father. That's how miracles happen. Are you seeing this? See, we have allowed technology to take the place of generational transfer. We've allowed technology to take the place of transfer. What I mean by transfer? Transfer of grace, transfer of anointing. We've allowed technology to do that. Just because, it's what I mean by technology, it began with radio, it began with print. Just because somebody writes some great information don't mean they're transferable. I'm going to say that again. Just because somebody can write down good information don't mean that they are transferable. Satan had good information, but you definitely don't want to be transferred what he has. TV has validated people that don't need validation in the ministry. Are you seeing this? TV has validated certain ministries that does not need to be validated. Just because you can break a text out, just because you can break the Greek word down, doesn't mean that we need the transfer of what's on your life. We have to understand that when there's a transference being made, is an actual transference of a person's spirit. So when we talk about generational succession, there has to be a transfer made. There has to be something that is left behind from our predecessors that gives us the right and the ability to walk as they did. The reason why Abraham did not want to leave what he inherited to Eliezer, now it goes much further than what Abraham had physically, material-wise. Abraham said, who can I trust to make sure the word, God, that you promised me is going to come to pass? I need a son. Matter of fact, go to Matthew's the first chapter. The very first verse gives us, if we don't learn nothing else tonight, learn this, that our connection to our spiritual leader is way bigger than our present moment. There are people in the future that are depending that we get it right now. That we get it right today. There are people in the future. There are things in the future. There are events in the future that are hinged upon what we do today. This one scripture, just watch this, the very first verse. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. You see that? Verse 2, first phrase before the semicolon. Abraham begat Isaac. It didn't say Abraham gave it to Eliezer. Abraham begat Isaac. Why? Because he could raise Isaac up in his house. He can raise Isaac. Listen to me now. He can raise Isaac up in his house, which means he can put his spirit on Isaac. That means he can put the agenda that God gave him on Isaac. Isaac can then see behind the scenes and understand why Abraham operated a certain way. Then Isaac can understand how important the agenda is to Abraham, so it becomes just as important to him. If you read that first chapter, you'll see it began with Abraham and it ended with Jesus. Are you seeing this? So, generational succession is very important, and it has nothing to do with age. It has everything to do with, is a transference being made? Is a transference being made? We live in a society now where we have a lot of callings and very little grace. We have a lot of callings, but very little grace. I don't doubt people's callings. I doubt their grace. What is grace? Grace is to be so that we don't oversimplify grace. Grace simply means to be empowered. That's what grace, to be empowered. To be empowered. So grace empowers us to do things that we couldn't do on our own. Grace is experience. It includes that. It includes anointing. It includes experience. It includes humility. And so a lot of people have callings, but they don't have grace. Listen to me very carefully. Listen to me very carefully. Jesus died on a cross to make grace available. But here's where the body of Christ get confused. Jesus died on a cross to make grace available to empower us not to sin. But grace to do what God called you to do comes from apostolic authority. You say, well, give me Bible on that. Paul said, I want you to be partakers of. Wait a minute, he didn't say Jesus' grace. He didn't say the grace of God. Paul said, now, if anybody ought to be, Paul, if anybody's a hero besides Jesus in the New Testament, it's the Apostle Paul. And Paul said, I want you to be partakers of my grace. Other words, what Paul was telling them is I want to impart to you the agenda of God, impart to you the anointing of God, impart to you this experience I've gotten with God, so that you can walk in this power of God. Are you seeing this? Generational succession is important. And generational succession is not about us. It's not about everybody being in the front. Generational succession means that we as a people of God building kingdom. Listen to me there. Building kingdom. That we all adhere to apostolic authority so that those that are coming behind us would see how powerful we are when we synergize. The reason why a lot of young people don't want to be in church now is because they don't know where the power is. They see this big God talked about, but they don't see the results of this big God. Why we don't see the results of this big God? Because there's no apostolic authority in place. And so if there's no apostolic authority in place, God does not move outside of his apostolic authority. If he moves outside of his apostolic authority, then what's the use in having authority? Are you seeing this? So the church is now, I want you to pay attention to where we are. In the body of Christ now, what's happening? There is a realigning of divine order that's happening. Apostolic order is now reemerging itself because there are a group of men and women that have sold themselves out to God the Father and his agenda. And not really concerned about size, not really concerned about numbers, not really concerned. Let me tell you what an apostle is. See, an apostle is not a sent one. It's not just a sent one. That's what we define. It's not just a sent one. An apostle is someone who structures, watch this, structures heaven to earth government. Structures heaven to earth government. So when an apostle begins to structure heaven to earth government, they're really not concerned about the earth. They're more concerned about what God wants than what the earth wants. So you'll find apostles. That's why it's not hard for apostles to make changes when God say make changes, because they're not concerned about what you think. They're not concerned about how you feel, because watch this. Watch how it works. If the apostle is concerned only about what God wants, and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, then the apostle is automatically concerned about what the people want, but they're not going, but he or she is not going to do what the people want. He or she is going to do what God wants, because God knows what's best for all of us. Do you see how this works? So generational succession is important, and one of the most important lessons that we can learn and pass on to the next generation is understanding apostolic authority, not apostolic control. There's a difference. Apostolic authority. One of the greatest characteristics that I love about the apostolic is that you have to be willing. You don't have to do nothing. It's a choice. How I know it's a choice? When God began to first establish apostolic authority, it was with Adam and Eve. And he put the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the center of the Garden of Eden. On purpose, so that they can have a choice. Where are you going to get your information from? Where are you going to get your impartation from? Are you going to continue spending time with me? Or are you going to go ahead and try to figure this thing out on your own? Are you seeing this? So apostolic authority is one of the most important transfers that need to be made. Understanding the apostolic, understanding the authority that it carries. And it's not about the person, it's about the office. See, we get caught up on the person that we don't realize it's about the office. The person in the office is the human display of the office. Are you seeing this? Generational transfer. Abraham wanted a son, so that he can transfer the agenda and the grace for the agenda to somebody he knows that he could personally train. Go to Ephesians, the third chapter. You cannot take part in the tangible blessings of the apostolic authority unless you're willing to commit and yield to it. You can't, it's no way possible. All of you talking about, one of the words, I hate this word. I hear people use it and preach you this word all the time. I just want gleam from your ministry. No, stay at your house. I don't want you gleaming. Stay at your house. If you're going to gleam, gleam from a distance. Don't come bother me. Don't come by the apostle. Stay your distance. Because gleaming just simply means you want to get what you can get, but you don't want what Dr. Thompson wants. Oh, they love you. I just want to sit and gleam with you. Oh, Doc, I just want to call and make an appointment with you. I just want to find a few things out about ministry. No, we're not going to. You're not finding a few things about ministry. We're not going to do this. Either you're going to commit or you're not. We cannot be partakers of the legacy of our spiritual fathers unless we are of the same lineage. In Ezra, you don't have to turn there, the second chapter, the priesthood is only handed down to those born within its lineage. You must become, see, that's why Nicodemus couldn't understand the concept about being born again. All Jesus was simply saying is, you're going to have to be in this lineage if you want the benefits of salvation. Go to John, the first chapter. Watch this now. Watch this. We talking about being born in the lineage of the Father, right? Watch what this verse says in John, the first chapter, in the 12th verse. But as many as receive him, meaning Jesus, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13 is important. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So other words, once you become born again, it gives you the supernatural legal right to not only spiritually, but physically bypass your lineage. All of the iniquities in your forefathers, all of the curses in the lineage of your forefathers, all the foolishness that went on before you got here, when you get born again, God said, I give you the right, listen to me, internet, I give you the right to bypass all of that and become my son. So that means now you are born in the lineage of Jesus Christ. That means Matthew's the first chapter don't end with Jesus Christ's name. You can insert your name into that lineage. There were some guys in Ezra that in the second chapter, I think it's the second chapter, that wanted to be priests. And they had, in the Old Testament, there was only one lineage that was designed to be priests. In Leviticus, you had to be actually physically born in that lineage to ever be able to hold the office of a priest. They wanted to be priests, so they made them trace their lineage. And they found out that they didn't come out of the lineage of Levi. And because they didn't come out of that lineage, they could not be priests. Simply because they were not born in that lineage. You cannot access the blessings, the grace, the experience, and everything else you want to name of your spiritual leader unless you're willing to be born in their house. Now, that's a mouthful, because to be born in a house means you have to become as a child to let them bring you up about the agenda that God has placed in that house. If you're not fully committed to the agenda that is in that house, then you will not access the grace that is on their life, because the grace that is on their life because of the agenda that God gave them. Are you seeing this? This is important about generational succession. There are a lot of young people now that are trying to be prophets, trying to be apostles, trying to pastor churches, trying to be teachers, and really don't even know the Apostles' Creed. Don't know foundational biblical truth. They know gamemanship. They know how to put a sermon together. They know how to hermeneutics, and they know how to hum it and how to make it sound right. They know how to make you fall out your chair. They know this. Why? Because they've seen it done. That's easy to mimic. But what is being transferred? What is being transferred? What succession is taking place. Are you seeing this? Watch this. We are not entitled to the privilege of the same priesthood unless we are in the exact same lineage. You must be, for lack of a better word, you must be baptized into the agenda of the house. You must become baptized in that agenda. Other words, I'm here because God sent me. So that God sent me, I need to find out what this apostolic house is about. so that I could become a part of it. The covenant blessing can only come on a holy seed and a godly offspring. It can't come no other way. It has to come. Watch this. The covenant blessing can only come on a holy seed and a godly offspring. If you remember, I believe it was Isaac kept telling Jacob and Esau where not to go get wives from. The reason why Isaac was telling them not to get wives from a certain place is because he knew based on his experience and based on what he was taught that there was a certain group of people that had a curse on them that you don't want to get involved with because it would hinder the blessing that is on your life. Jacob listened. Esau didn't. So even because Esau, watch this. This is powerful. Esau came back with tears in his eyes, a true repentant heart, but still could not get the any of the anointing that was left on Isaac simply because of who he was connected to. The covenant blessing can only come on a holy seed and a godly offspring. This is why I'm very careful with who I become covenant with. I don't want anybody as bad as, you know, if I'm going to be held back, I'm going to hold myself back. I'm not going to get connected to somebody that's going to hold me back. You understand what I'm saying? So I guard my relationships. I guard my relationships tight because I want to make sure that nobody comes into my life that will stop me. Listen to the internet. That will stop me from going and becoming that holy seed. Stop me from becoming that person that can receive that covenant blessing. Because here's the thing. Why am I connected to my spiritual leader? I'm connected so that they can pour into me. So that I can pour into my children. I can pour into the people that I have influence over. So that the kingdom of God can be built and spread. So therefore, I can't allow anybody to come in that will stop me from receiving that import and that importation. I can't afford it. So I have to guard my relationships. Those who live honorably in covenant will become partakers of the legacy of their fathers or spiritual leaders. You become a partaker of that. Listen, man, you become a partaker. When you are honorable and when you are loyal, God will take what's on your leader and allow you to partake in it. Now, a lot of people, especially in this particular how can I phrase it? In this particular time or generation, we don't find this happening much. Why? Because number one, we live in a country that say, get it for yourself. We live in a country that say, get it for yourself. And we live in a country that says survival of the fittest. We live in a country that make rules for one and allow others to run free. So therefore, we have a mentality that we can't trust each other. And that it takes something away from us when we yield to somebody that has a greater presence than we have. But the way God set it up is whenever we yield to somebody who has a greater grace than we have, we don't have to become that person. Because we become one. So when we become one, where that person goes, we go. That's why Paul said, I want you to be partakers of my grace. Because when you become partakers of your spiritual leader's grace, There are pitfalls that you don't have to go through that they went through. There are experience things that you can experience without having to experience them. Are you seeing this? So when you become a partaker of their grace, you could become a partaker of the blessing, of the results. When we operate accurately in covenant, it is inevitable that heaven will be pressured to release the all when brothers, watch this, born of the same priestly tribe, come together and dwell together in harmony and in unity. Go with me to Galatians, the second chapter. I'm sorry, Ephesians, the third chapter, Ephesians. I read verse 20 because I want you to see something. And I can show you why a lot of us haven't been receiving what's in verse 20. Because we jumped to verse 20. See, one of the things you have to learn in the Bible is we can't cherry pick scriptures. I always, if I find a scripture that stands out to me, I always read above and below, because there is something that is being said to make that verse stand out. You have to make that a practice. If you get a verse, you always need to read above and below that verse to see what's happening. All right. Watch this. Here's my point. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Most times when you memorize that scripture and you see that scripture, you see the power that worketh in me. Why? Because of our singleistic mentality, we don't realize that this is a covenant scripture. This is a covenant scripture. Paul said, now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Are you seeing this? Now watch this. Go further up, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant unto you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Why? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. What's the next, what it says? Wait a minute, no, comprehend by yourself. What it says? Comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. And to know the love of Christ with passage knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So what the Apostle Paul is saying is that without your brothers and sisters in Christ, you will never understand all of God. There are ways God wants to move that you will not understand, but your brother and sister will understand it. See, this is why I have no problem with moves of God that I don't understand, because it's impossible for me to understand all the moves of God, because if I understood all the moves of God, then that means I'm all encompassing. That means I know it more than what everybody else. That's not how it's going to work. There were 12 tribes of Israel. Each tribe had their own language. Each tribe had their own rules of engagements. Each tribe had their agenda. So therefore, one agenda does not make one agenda better than the other agenda, or it doesn't make one tribe better than the other. It's just that they're different. And so watch this. If I want to inherit to partake of the legacy of my spiritual leader, I can't be focused on other tribes. See, I'm the type of person, I'm going to use me as an example. If Apostle Thompson, for me, is not going in a certain direction, I'm not going in that certain direction either. I'm not going to look for revelations that he's not alluding to. I'm not going to read information that's going to take me away from what I'm learning here. See, if I want the other information, I need to leave this tribe and go to that tribe. See, I have an issue with all these people talking about they have these different anointings, and that then you get into the pulpit swapping. Yeah. Then you get into pulpit swapping and all these conferences in which everybody has their own agenda in the conference. You get all these big name speakers coming in, and each one of them have their own agenda. So now the people leave the conference more confused than when they came. Why? Because go to Ephesians. I'm talking about generational. I'm talking about transfer now. This is important. I'm talking about transfer. Go to Ephesians. We are almost finished. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. So y'all did see that in Ephesians, the third chapter, how you can't know the depth, the breadth, and the length of God until you are connected with your brothers and sisters. It's impossible for you by yourself to know how deep God is. It's impossible for you to know by yourself how wide God is. Is it possible to know yourself how awesome God is? But you can get with your brothers and sisters and see how God is moving in their life. You say, man, God is huge. Yeah. God is moving in their lives in a totally different way that he ain't moving in our lives. Yeah. Are you seeing this? Don't make them better. Don't make us worse. Don't make them worse. Don't make us better. It's just God is much broader than us. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. The 11th verse. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12 is important. For the perfecting or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and under the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So you by yourself ain't going to come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Oh, I know you were trying to be like Jesus. I know you. What would you? I understand you're trying to be like Jesus. We all striving to be like Jesus, but you cannot become like him by yourself. It takes, Jesus is the head, we are the body. I can't be the toes and the fingers. I can't be the heart and the lungs. Verse 14, this is where I will get to. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The reason why God gave the fivefold is so that everything, every answer, every impartation, every grace, every blessing, all power that you will ever need will be in your apostolic house. So therefore, I don't have to go run to this church on Tuesday nights and go run to this church on Thursday nights and run to the other church on Saturday nights, because my spiritual leader, when they're apostolically connected, will have all the answers that I need in this house. So therefore, I don't have to go run. If I got marriage problems, it's possible for my spiritual leader to teach on healing, and I give my answer for my marriage. I may be having problems with my children. My spiritual leader may be teaching on prosperity, but then I get an answer from them about how to deal with my kids. See, when you have an apostolic house, generational succession becomes easier, because I'm not being confused by every wind of doctrine. Right. God may be moving over there, But if my apostolic leader is not moving in that direction, then that must be that's something for that apostolic house to move in. If it's for my apostolic house to move in, then God will let my apostolic leader know, and I'll move in that direction when they move in that direction. Are you seeing this? See, so therefore, you won't be a Christian trying to figure out, am I doing the right thing? I see them over there, they doing this now. Maybe I run over there and do this. Maybe my problems will change if I run over and do this. Or I see them start doing this over here. So maybe I ought to run over there and begin to do what they doing. Just maybe I might not be doing the right thing. That you no longer have to worry about that. Because when you are in an apostolic house that has apostolic authority, God will put every answer, every grace, every power, every ability, every endowment that you need in that house. So I don't have to run all over the place. I don't have to be confused. I don't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Sometimes God will be talking to certain houses. He ain't talking to this house. That don't mean that God won't talk to us in the future. It just means that he's talking to them now. That don't mean I pick up and move on. Because at the moment I move on, that's when God begin to release answers about me. Are you seeing this? Apostolic succession, this generational succession, cannot take place unless we choose to walk in covenant. Last point. When special people come together in covenant and corporate synergy, it will put a pressure in the spiritual realm that will dethrone the powers of hell. When we begin to really embrace apostolic authority, I keep saying the word apostolic authority. What it means when I say apostolic authority, it just means God's government. Respecting God's government, respecting who God has placed in government. Are you seeing this? And there's different ways we can find out where God placed who. Because God never placed anybody in apostolic authority with no results. If a person is trying to be in an apostolic authority or trying to walk in the office and have no results, run. Run fast you can from that person, because they're going to mess themselves up and they're going to mess you up too. Because God never used, you can read through the Bible, God never used anybody that didn't first have, watch this, experiences with him. David wasn't chosen to be king because he killed Goliath. David was chosen to be king because when nobody else was looking, he was protecting sheep, killing that bear, killing that lion. Nobody knew that. But God knew it. So God said, I got somebody to take care of this giant the rest of y'all scared of. Go look for him, Samuel. So anybody that has no fruit, no results in their life, you don't want to be trying to inherit what they have. Because if they have nothing, then you're going to inherit. Are you seeing this? When we unite together in covenant, we can inspire a people movement toward kingdom advancement. That's about succession. That's about we becoming that light on a hill. We becoming that attractive light that draw, what it says, honey draw more flies than vinegar. Is that the statement? That's the statement. I've heard it. Honey draw more flies than vinegar. Well, people who are successful, groups of people who are successful draw more people than people who claim they're successful but show no fruit. That's why young people are not in church. Because you got too many games being played, too many hustles being made, and God, look, I'm telling you something. This is what I want to, I'm going to close with this. There's a shift happening in the body of Christ now, where those that are not willing to yield, listen to me, those that are not willing to align with apostolic authority will be moved out of the way. You have already seen it begin. You've already seen it. It's begun already. People who do not want to align with apostolic authority. I don't care about your calling. I don't care about your calling. I want to know, do you have the grace to walk in that calling? God can call you, but you still have to be graced. The calling comes from God. Grace comes from your spiritual leader. Paul said, be partakers of the grace that's on my life. Be partakers of my grace. He wasn't worried about the calling because only God can call you. Man can't call you. Only God can call you. But God set it up where you can't go no further until you've been graced by man. Joshua had to be graced by Moses. Elisha was called by God, but God told Elijah, I want him to anoint him to be a prophet in thy house. God called Elisha, but Elijah graced him. I hope y'all hearing what I'm saying. See, I don't really care about your calling. I want to know about your grace. Because grace gives you the humility, the empowerment, the experience to carry out the calling. Next week we got exams, right? Our exam is going to be on chapter 11. Of course, it's open book. And so that's the chapter we're dealing with next. But go ahead and I want you to read it. Get ahead on it. Is it chapter 11? Yeah, it's chapter 11, right? Yeah, chapter 11. And that's where our exam will be coming from. Those listening by internet, it'll be chapter 11. Read it, and all our statements will be coming out of there. You all have a good night.